The ancient Library of Alexandria, built in the 4th century BC, is wrapped in myth and fable. Its estimated 500,000 scrolls made it the largest collection in the ancient world. But the library mysteriously disappeared some 2,000 years ago, possibly burned down when Julius Caesar laid siege to the city in 48 BC. Today, Egypt is set to open a landmark site which is being billed as the revival of the Great Library. As Kate Seeley reports from Alexandria, expectations for its future are high.
Inside its vast interior, workers put final touches on the new Library of Alexandria. Project manager Mohsen Zahran gives a tour of the 17,000 square foot reading room, which he calls the largest in the world.
As you can see, it is made of 7 levels, cascading levels.
The library is already being hailed for its innovative design. Overlooking the Mediterranean, it rises some 100 feet from the ground like a disc tilted on edge. Its aluminum and glass roof resembles a gigantic microchip. Its exterior black granite walls are engraved with characters from most of the world's known languages.
The design of the library is like the rising sun. 160 meter in diameter, disc. Part of it below ground, most of it is above ground. To give you the idea of that the disc is a little hidden below ground level, the idea of a perpetual sunrise, the revival, the library is rising again.
The idea of resurrecting the Great Library was spearheaded by academics at the nearby University of Alexandria some 30 years ago. UNESCO was approached for funding and construction began in 1995. Mustafa Abadi, a professor of classics at the University of Alexandria, conceived of the idea. He was inspired by his research on the ancient library built by the Ptolemy Greeks. Having accompanied Alexander the Great on his conquests, the Ptolemies brought back to Alexandria the idea of building a comprehensive collection of manuscripts.
For the first time, there existed a universal library. Before Alexander and Alexandria, libraries tended to be regional or local. The Ptolemies, Ptolemy I, decided to create a universal library, to incorporate this universal knowledge and allow the interchange and the interaction of the various tributaries to human knowledge. And that was perhaps why Alexandria advanced so fast and its contribution was fantastic by all measures.
At the height of its power in the 3rd century BC, Alexandria was one of the greatest cities on earth. A wealthy cosmopolitan trading hub, it combined the grandeur of Egypt with the classical traditions of Greece. Its 400-foot lighthouse was acclaimed as one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. With their vast wealth, the Ptolemies developed Alexandria into the ancient world's center of learning. Insatiable book collectors, they secured Buddhist texts from India. They summoned Jewish scholars to translate the Torah into Greek. The Ptolemies even ordered that every boat that sailed into the Alexandria harbor be searched for manuscripts.
And if they didn't have a copy of it, they would make a good copy out of it, give the copy to its proprietor and compensate him for the original. And these books were cataloged books from the sea because they came from the boats.
The library amassed some 500,000 scrolls, drawing scholars for research and study. Euclid devised his geometric theories in Alexandria. Eratosthenes calculated the circumference of the earth with astonishing accuracy. Herophilus dissected the human body and proved that the seat of human intelligence lay in the brain, not in the heart, as Aristotle thought. Mustafa Abadi.
Great minds all over the Mediterranean came to Alexandria because they knew that whatever they asked for would be provided at the library. And this is a dream of a scholar. It's the paradise of a scholar.
Alexandria's fortunes later waned as the Ptolemies fell under the influence of Rome. By the time Napoleon reached the city in the late 18th century, Alexandria had become a sleepy fishing town. But it was to enjoy a second period of prosperity under the Ottoman Turks, who developed it back into a thriving commercial center. At the turn of the 20th century, it was a cosmopolitan city with grand plazas and wide boulevards. Large Greek, British, and French populations lived in Alexandria, their stories captured by British author Lawrence Durrell in his famous series of novels, The Alexandria Quartet. But today, Alexandria is a provincial port town, an affordable vacation destination for middle-class Cairenes, its former beauty faded by neglect. In the 1950s, Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser nationalized foreign businesses and expelled the city's Europeans and Jews. The nation's resources were shifted to Cairo. Today, Alexandrians, like Mohammed Awad, head of the city's preservation trust, look to the new Alexandria Library as a means of reviving the city's cultured and international past.
I see the library as being one of these channels of communication, a meeting place where the West and the East and the North and the South can meet together and discuss their ideas.
The library aims to eventually house some 4 million books, making it the largest in the Arab world. The project has generated major international support, with Arab states contributing a third of its $200 million price tag. UNESCO and Egypt have provided most of the rest. The costs have raised eyebrows in a country where school libraries are nearly empty. Some critics have expressed concern about the intellectual independence of such a library in a country that censors and bans books for blasphemous content or criticism of the state. But its fans say it will generate greater support for learning and greater tolerance. Scholars like Abadi hope it lives up to its potential and does not simply become a tourist attraction. Its success will depend on the strength of its collection and the ability of the administration to attract scholars and intellectuals, he says.
If the library is capable of providing their needs, well, I believe the library will be able to play a transformative role in the development of the Middle East.
Alexandria's new library is due to open later this year. From Alexandria, Egypt, I'm Kate Seeley for NPR.